Always keep learning. Remember to keep learning and use evidence in your practice, because things are going to change and you need to keep up with it.
Continuing the PT Podcast college tour, we went to Wingate University in North Carolina, talked to four professors from there, and had some great conversations on a variety of topics inside the world of PT. The first round is brought to you by Owens Recovery Science, the single source for PTs seeking certification in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training and the equipment you need to apply it. OwensRecoveryScience.com. The show is brought to you by the Brooks Institute of Higher Learning, an innovator in providing advanced post-professional education. The Brooks IHL hosting their third annual scholarly symposium. That's on May 19th in Jacksonville, Florida. Chad Cook is the keynote speaker. The day is filled with evidence-based scholarly activities. You do not want to miss it. Register today at BrooksIHL.org.
The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours.
This is
the PT Pinecast.
May I introduce?
Please allow me to introduce you to.
Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
All right, we're back on PT Pinecast here at Wingate University. Got one of my colleagues here. Everybody say hello to Christy Mendenhall. There you go. Christy, manager of university relations at Fox Rehabilitation. Fox, the largest PT practice in the U.S., employing over 1,000 PTs, OTs, and SLPs in 17 states. And growing. If you think working with older adults might be for you, reach out to Christy and find out if you're a fit for Fox at foxrehab.org. Christy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jimmy.
She has to put up with me at the office. Now she has to put up with me on stage.
Got a lot
on my
of energy.
Yeah, a little bit. So we bring you in because you actually relate with students a lot. And you've been doing recruiting or working with students in a couple different capacities, right? You used to work for UNC.
I used to work for UNC on the flip side with the students. So all of your paperwork that needed to be brought in on time.
You guys love the paperwork,
right? Clinical rotations. I did that end of it, helping the students at UNC get their clinical rotation set up.
So now you're also part of a scary situation, for some anyway, after they graduate when they have to look for a job?
The J-O-B.
A job. Apparently, that's what awaits you after a graduation.
That's what your parents are waiting for, that J-O-B.
Just fingers crossed. There's a lot of nodding out there. So we want to, demystify, debunk, make it a little bit less stressful. This is one of the people that might be across the table from you, or maybe on the phone, or maybe telehealth. Maybe we'll do some tele-interviewing. You never know. And you see things on a regular basis, so we'll just throw questions at you. You know, interview do's and don'ts. What are your expectations? What do you look for in a candidate's appearance at an interview? Would this be interview appropriate?
That's a fail.
I'm probably not wearing interview appropriate, but I'm not on an interview.
Yes, you're not on an interview.
What about Steve? Steve's wearing interview appropriate.
I would hire this gentleman.
Yes. So what are you looking for? And then I want a horror story of something you've seen that, oh man. So what are you looking for first?
Well, for gentlemen, I would definitely say a suit and tie is most appropriate. If you don't have a suit and tie, a jacket, a button-down shirt, or even a shirt and tie with a nice pair of pants and shoes. For women, also a suit is nice. Don't have to put the tie on, but a skirt, blouse, dress pants. Be conscious of the length of the skirt. Try to avoid a low-cut blouse. Fingernails, men and women, no chip nail polish.
Yeah.
And I'd say be conscious of that appearance, because we're definitely looking at the package first before we're actually getting to delve in and get to know your psyche there.
Right. But the fact that we actually have to ask this question and you have to answer it means that this comes up. So what are some things that you've seen, maybe a situation where it might throw a red flag?
Well, honestly, at career fairs, we're looking as well at how you dress. So I go to universities across the country, and there are some in beach areas. I won't name them. But I've seen women and sometimes men in yoga pants.
Yeah.
It's a little scary, but it's hard to have an intelligent conversation with someone that's dressed like that. So even at a career fair, try and dress as nice as you can, because we're actually sizing you up for our companies, and you might really like what you're hearing and want to work for us.
And I will point out, because the audience at home can't see, I'm sizing up the student body here at Wingate. Everybody is dressed,
yes.
Interview appropriate. So good job.
Good job. The Southern schools always do a good job of dressing up, I have to say.
Yeah, a lot of hooded sweatshirts north of the Mason-Dixon. I know, because I went to school there. How about demeanor when you're meeting with a student, a possible candidate?
I'm looking to see what their demeanor is like in terms of their body language. So if you're sitting outside in the waiting room and you're shaking your leg, I'm a little nervous to meet you because you're really nervous looking. So you definitely want to be conscious of how you present yourself in the waiting room. And just, you know, things like that. Just, you know, body language is a big thing. How do you shake my hand? Is it, you know...
No high fives. Not until after the job.
I want a 1, 2, 3 firm handshake, and I want you to look me in the eye when you do it. So if you're a soft handshaker, it's, you know, you got to work on that.
No cold fish, no dead fish, right? So this might be, for some students who've gone straight through school, might be the first job, official job interview they've ever gone on, so they might have that nervous energy. Anything to prepare them for that demeanor thing, that body language? What do you got?
Nerves is very common. Not only are you nervous, but the person interviewing you is going to be nervous as well. One of the things that I remember, a story from when I was young and very nervous going for one of my first jobs, I don't even remember what it was, and I'm walking out the door and my mother could see the frazzled look on my face and she said, "Christy, what's the matter?" I said, "Mom, I'm so scared about going in for this job. I don't know if I'm going to mess up." She said, "They need you more than you need them." And just her saying that to me just made me calm down. And what I do and what I tell my friends and students all over, if you're going into an interview, say that to yourself over and over again. Even if you go to a mirror beforehand, go to the bathroom, and just look at yourself in the mirror and say, "They need me more than I need them." It really will calm your fears down. And just say it over and over.
And I like to point out, too, it is an interview. You know, your goal as an interviewee going in is to find out as much as you can about that company or that person. So it's not winning the job. This is not a competition. I know you want to get that job, but it really is an interview. So treat it as such. You have no idea as a candidate what you ask students. How are some of these guys supposed to prepare for that as they go into an interview where they have no idea what the questions are?
You can look up interview questions online and get an idea of the different types of behavioral questions that are going to be asked of you, and write them down, but have answers prepared already and try and memorize them. So when the question comes up, it's going to come to you a lot quicker and you won't run on. So be brief and get your statement across, but have them prepared ahead of time and it'll help you a lot.
All right, last question. That question that always comes up, do you have anything to ask us? They should, you know,
exactly.
Before you leave that room, you should at least have a thoughtful question or two. What are some good ones?
My go-to question, and this is a great way to flip the interview where you can interview the person, is how long have you been here and why do you stay? It really shows that you have a genuine interest in the person that's interviewing you, and they appreciate it, and they like, you know, to talk about themselves, most people do. So it gives them an opportunity to talk about even the practice or the company that they're working for. They might be like, "Oh, you know, I get up every morning and this job sucks." I hope they wouldn't say that, but it's a red flag.
So why do you work at Fox and why do you still work there?
I have great coworkers like you, Jimmy McKay.
Butt kiss points are allowed on interviews. Totally.
No, really, that's why I work at Fox. My colleagues are wonderful. And the work that we do for geriatrics is amazing. I have an 83-year-old father who's needed PT in the past. And to be able to get the outpatient services to the geriatric population in their home and not have a homebound status requirement allows you as the PT to dose the patient yourself. So you will get to treat them a lot longer than someone being treated under Medicare Part A. So we bill off of Medicare Part B, and I love that our patients actually form a bond. My son is an OT for the practice, and what he loves about working at Fox is he's in South Philadelphia, so he's treating all community patients. He has a little Italian lady right now that he's taken on a SEPTA bus because her goal is to go food shopping again. And, you know, he gets to do those things, and in return, he's getting biscotti and cappuccino made for him, and he's loving it.
That sounds like a rough day.
Yeah.
Man. Email address, if someone wanted to maybe ask you a question, maybe you can look at their resume. Would you do that for a student?
Absolutely.
Maybe?
I would love to help any of you out if you'd like me to look over your resume. It's christy.mendenhall@foxrehab.org, and I have business cards if you need some.
Cool. Christy Mendenhall, everybody, making sure you don't mess that one up.
Thank you.
Thank you, Christy.
This is the PT Pinecast.
I want to thank our friends from Arias Medical Staffing as we continue the PT Pinecast College Tour, now in North Carolina. And yes, they have positions here as well. All 50 states in the United States is where they can get you doing what you want to do, where you want to do it, with Arias. A-U-R-E-U-S medical.com. Placements in all settings. And again, want to stress, doesn't cost you, the therapist, anything to get placed with Arias. 100% free. You love free, don't you? You can go from assignment to assignment or take some time off in between assignments. The freedom is all yours. Arias, that's A-U-R-E-U-S medical.com. You are now free to be a PT anywhere in the country, thanks to our friends from Arias.
The Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry,
brought to you by the American Physical Therapy Association.
It uses data from the profession
for the profession
to help you elevate your patient care, visualize your value, and define your future. The Outcomes Registry collects and aggregates electronic health record data from practices to help physical therapists make well-informed clinical decisions and track clinical outcomes against nationwide averages. By joining the registry, you'll gain a critical tool to demonstrate the value of physical therapy. It's easy. It's fast. It's the future. Find out more online now at ptoutcomes.com.
That's ptoutcomes.com.
The Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry.
Brought to you by the American Physical Therapy Association.
And we're back.
Let's get back to the show now. All right, we're back at the PT Pinecast still at Wingate University. Wingate, are you guys still alive? There we go. Our next guest, a professor at the program here at Wingate University, director of post-professional programs, and has emeritus status as a board-certified neurologic physical therapist. Bachelor's in PT from SUNY Buffalo, upstate New York, here for Western New York. Here in the Deep South, I have no idea. Yeah, thanks. Master's degree from Old Dominion and a PhD in rehab science from the University of Pittsburgh. Next up on the show, Diane Risley. Diane, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Us Western New Yorkers got to stick together,
definitely.
Right? 716.
Yes.
So I went to school about an hour south of Buffalo in the middle, I like to call it the middle of nowhere, at St. Bonaventure University. And did you like Buffalo, the 11 months of winter?
Yes, I did. I didn't like the winter, but I liked Buffalo.
Yeah.
I grew up in Rochester, so I'm used to Western New York. And back then, it was a much more economically stable place. But love the lakes, the Great Lakes,
yeah.
And the water and the Finger Lakes.
And the lake affects snow.
And the lake affects snow.
Yeah. I think that the winters they bond people together.
Yes.
When you're up there.
The first year I was at teaching at SUNY Buffalo, I think we had snow every single day of the winter.
Why not?
3 to 5 inches.
Buffalo. Snow with a chance of extra
snow. Nothing shut down.
No, we just roll with it.
Yeah.
Or you know you're in an area with a lot of snow when they have underground tunnels that connect most of the buildings. I know like a couple of the SUNY schools will just have tunnels. So you could just be a mole person and never have to see the light
right.
of day if you didn't want to.
Actually, the reason, or the way you know that you're in an area with a lot of snow is there's those poles on the fire hydrants.
So
you can find them.
A girl in the front row who looks at me like she has no idea. So there's actually metal. They put metal flags on the fire hydrants because when they get buried in snow and there's a fire, the firemen have to show up and they dig.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where are you from? North Carolina. Yeah. Dead giveaway right there. Come to Buffalo in like February. You'll love it. I promise.
Niagara Falls.
Yeah. What's not to love?
So my claim to fame.
Yeah.
Is. My aunt, my great-great aunt, was the first person to go over Niagara Falls in a barrel and live.
Wow, it's here for that.
They knew that.
you have to tell people that.
I have to.
If I had an ancestor who did that, I would wear a t-shirt. Ask me about my aunt and the barrel. That's what it would say.
Yes, I should get one of those.
So I saw in some of the stuff that we read about you that you have a pre-doctoral, post-doctoral fellowship grants from the National Institute for Deafness and Communication, as well as funding from the Foundation for Physical Therapy. Talk about what'd you do with that? What'd you do with the funding?
During my doctorate, I looked at the effect of the cervical spine on balance, and so with people with cervicogenic dizziness, and so we put galvanic stimulation behind the ear, and we looked at what their sway patterns were. And we found that people with cervicogenic dizziness had a different sway pattern. And so that definitely there's influence from the neck up to the vestibular system that controls balance.
Yeah, Becky Bliss off to our left is nodding
yes.
so much. She's gonna give herself a different sway pattern because she loves talking
yes.
about this.
So my postdoctoral fellowship continued that, but there, we used a different paradigm. We had people stand on a platform that was rotated side to side, and it measures how much people use sensory information for balance. And if they stay upright, they're using the vestibular system. If they move with the platform, then they are using somatosensory information. And we found that people with unilateral vestibular loss actually do use sensory information differently. And we also found that those who were well compensated, so doing a lot more activities, actually used vestibular information more, which was very different than what we thought. We thought people with unilateral vestibular loss, after they recovered, they had to use somatosensory information. Whereas we found out that they used vestibular more, and we had to change training paradigms to use vestibular information, and we're still working on those training paradigms.
That sounds interesting. I like that.
Yeah. So my funding from the foundation was to actually look at these training paradigms and to see if we could develop some new ones. And we have some preliminary data that I'm hoping to build on here at Wingate.
Yeah. Do the students participate in, you guys in the challenge? Are they in the challenge?
Oh, definitely. Are you in the challenge?
Yeah, I have a list. There we go.
So we actually are very proud of our participation.
Yeah.
We were the best newcomer the first year we had the program.
That.
And then we've had honorable mention for the last 3 years.
Let's hear for that. Good job.
And this year, we're going to be at the next level.
I hosted the foundation gala last year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Were you guys in attendance? Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to wear, it was the Boston PT party. That's where next was. And I got to wear an American flag colored suit. So I had red pants, a red and white striped tie, and the stars and stripes on my blazer.
Oh, how cool.
But that's a great organization to work for, because that's the organization giving out grants. And that's when I saw that in your bio. I was like, I want to hear where it goes. Because, yes, raising money is fun. It's great to be on the list. It's great to, you know, level up or, you know, get platinum, triple, secret status, whatever it is. But where does it go? What does it do? How is it going to help the profession? That's why I wanted to bring that up. So good for you.
And my grant was actually funded by the challenge. And so not all the grants are funded by the challenge, but mine was. And so that's why this is near and dear to my heart.
So make sure your school, if you're listening, because you guys are already locked up, but if your school is out there and you're listening, get on the list. And that's easy. Just look up for the Foundation for Physical Therapy. 30 years of clinical experience in the evaluation treatment of patients with vestibular and balance deficit, and awarded the APTA Neurology Section Award for Clinical Excellence in Neurologic Physical Therapy. N02, fellow of, let's see if I can get through the acronym without screwing up, ABPTRFE. Did I get it?
You got it.
All right, I usually trip over that one. Credential Leadership Institute and a full-time faculty member for 14 years. Talk about that award. That's awesome. Congratulations. I mean, I know I'm a little late because it was in 2002, but I still think it's awesome.
It was a long time ago. It was quite an honor. I was actually doing my PhD at the time when I received it, but I was still doing clinical work. And I guess, you know, it's hard to talk about yourself. The reason I received it was because of my personal care. And so my interactions with my patients more than just my skills.
It's a great way to, it's a great reason to get an award.
Yes. And so that I was more involved than just doing day-to-day PT.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on that. I know, I'm sorry I'm late.
Okay.
I wasn't in PT back then, but you know.
Make me feel old.
Well, I was in radio then.
Okay.
I was just doing a little bit. I was doing this, but we were interviewing like Linkin Park and stuff like that. Outcome measures. Why do you get fired up about that? How do we get fired up about outcome measures?
How do we get fired up? Because we have to measure whether we're successful with our patients.
How do we know?
How do we know? And if we use standardized outcome measures, we can actually tell across practices if we're getting the same outcomes and what we can really compare treatments. And so I'm a big proponent of outcome measures and using them, and these guys all know that.
The front row is nodding hard.
Yes.
Also the second row is,
Yes. The third and fourth haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah, okay.
So the fourth and fifth, they still have to get to that class. But anyways, we really need to know this. And so what I've been doing, I've actually helped develop two different outcome measures and done the research, the psychometrics on them.
And which ones?
The functional gait assessment is really mine.
Yeah.
And then the mini best, the best test, the balance evaluation systems test.
I think I've heard of that one,
I helped develop with Faye Horak.
Wow.
And so it's really exciting.
Snap a picture real quick. I'm going to tweet this out. I'll show you about Twitter later, I promise. All right.
Yeah, I told Becky Bliss that I'm not a bird. I don't tweet.
I like that. I like that a lot. I might use that. But outcome measures, we know that's where things are going.
Yes.
Right? In terms of data and being paid, which
right.
for some reason, you know, is a dirty word along with marketing, being paid.
It's necessary.
It's necessary. You know, I think it's interesting that it comes up as a dirty word or as something we don't want to have to ask for or fight for because it's more of an altruistic profession, except
right.
I like cornflakes. And, you know, ham and cheese sandwiches, and I want to be able to buy those.
Right.
So, but that where I'm going with this is we're going for, it's going to be for, you know, pay for outcomes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So having those standardized outcome measures is something that we need to have.
Right. And to say, this is what I can get
right.
out of the patient. So that's why they need to come to me.
So what are your favorite outcome measures that are not designed by you?
So there's a measure that's based on the BEST test.
Okay.
Called the mini BEST test, and that's probably my favorite, right?
It's like your test grandkid or something.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah.
Right.
They're related. They're cousins.
They're related.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what else is my favorite. Oh, yes, the VADL, the Vestibular Activities of Daily Living Scale, and it's not well known. It was developed by an occupational therapist out of Texas, Helen Cohen, and it's a self-perception measure that looks at how well somebody does activities of daily living.
Sure.
It was developed for people with vestibular dysfunction. However, it works with a lot of other patients. And it grades it on such a small different gradations that it's really nice to use with patients.
That's cool. Giving a shout out to a different outcome measure is what you're doing there. I like that.
Yes.
You work with students here at Wingate, obviously.
Yes.
They're showing up to support you. And
yes.
they'll be at the... well, the brewery later.
Yes, and I'll be
well.
There too.
Measuring sway patterns or?
Probably.
I'll see. We'll give them outcome measures in the beginning and then count the
yes.
drinks and then we're sciencing things. Don't worry about it.
They've been wanting to do that for years.
Yes. And now we do it.
Now we'll do it.
But you work with student success. What's that mean to you?
It means that I do everything I can to see that they're successful. And so I stay late and my door is open. There's also another benefit of coming to see me is that I have Dove chocolate.
I was going to say, usually snacks.
And it sits in a brain on my desk.
Okay.
Not a real brain, a ceramic brain, but it sits in a brain on my desk.
I like that. You stay late, your door is open, you give treats, you come on weird podcasts when asked.
And I come on the weekends.
Yeah. Is this true? We've got, yeah, and they're nodding because they're like, yes. Even if this wasn't true, would you be nodding? Yeah, okay. Just kidding. And residencies too.
Yes,
what are we going to talk about with that?
We just started a neuro residency. We just got accreditation
last year.
And so I think it's really important that our students, because we're going to direct access, residencies are important. It takes them up to the next level at a faster rate. And we see that we have one graduating class of residents and we have another one that's in process. And you can see the growth in their ability to process different information and to do skills at a higher level. And so I think that's where PT practice is going.
How long's the residency?
1 year.
1 year. And where can people find out about it? Is it wingate.edu?
Wingate.edu.
Yeah.
If they type in neurologic residency,
so
it'll come up.
You've graduated one, so
mm-hmm.
this is the second.
This
and
is the second.
What have you learned from, you know, version 1.0 to version 2.0?
That the students want more opportunity to discuss things and not necessarily just be talked to, which is kind of entry level as well.
That, right.
You know, the ability to discuss something and then apply it to a patient.
Yeah. How many residents at a time?
Three.
So that's a good discussion. That's a good.
It is.
Too many is it gets a little weird.
Right.
I mean.
Yeah.
So that's exciting.
Yes.
Good for you guys. Are you ready for your parting shot?
Sure.
Yeah, let's do that.
This is The Parting Shot.
The Parting Shot is brought to you by Fox Rehabilitation. Their mission, to rehabilitate lives by believing in the strength of people. They believe in their clients and their ability to achieve what they once thought impossible. Optimal function to rehabilitate their lives. Find out more at foxrehab.org.
All right, Diane, your parting shot, one lasting impression on the audience. What's it going to be?
Always keep learning. Remember to keep learning and use evidence in your practice because things are going to change and you need to keep up with it.
All right, let's hear for Diane Risley.
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and now Snapchat.
At PT Pintcast.
And online at ptpintcast.com.
All right, back at Wingate University for our last guest of the night. Graduated from the Medical College of Georgia in 2011, completed the clinical residency in orthopedic physical therapy at the Massachusetts General Hospital's Institute of Health Professions, board certified in orthopedic physical therapy, and currently an assistant professor in the Department of PT at Wingate University here in North Carolina, the Bulldogs. Welcome Tyler Schultz to the show. Tyler, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so you get to back cleanup.
I get to follow all of my great colleagues up here who kind of blow me out of the water with research and everything else.
So no pressure. How long have you been here at Wingate?
Since June of last year.
Okay, so relatively new too, along with Becky. Becky, what's your impression so far? Why'd you come here to Wingate?
I echo what Becky said. It's for the students. Yeah. This program is completely dedicated to the students here. Yeah.
And you've been all over. You've had some different, you know, geographic educational experiences.
I have.
What are some places that you really liked to be?
I did a rotation as a student in Singapore.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool.
That wasn't on your bio. We're going to have to cover that. And apparently you haven't talked about it with some students.
Yeah. I don't think the students know that about me.
So talk about that.
Yeah. So I was, as a student, I was very interested in doing golf rehab and working with golfers. And I had a professor at the time who was from Singapore, and a friend of his who is a physio there had a golf specific rehab clinic. And he made a few phone calls, and next thing I knew, I was on a plane to Singapore by myself for 6 weeks, and it was a very interesting experience.
Wow, and you can't chew gum, and there's a lot of rules in Singapore. You get caned, you get hit with a stick.
There's a lot of rules, but it's a lot more relaxed than what
you think.
You think, yeah.
What was a good fun memory from that experience? It's got to be great.
Yeah, it was great. One of the best experiences I had there was getting to work with, in his clinic, we worked with kids as young as 6 and 7, all the way up to older folks trying to get back on the golf course after surgery or after joint replacement. Things.
And this
like
is all golf specific?
About 90%. You can't have just a golf only clinic. You have to supplement it in some way with other kind of outpatient folks. So.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, really fun. Yeah, the one student was like, what?
Mouth agape.
Like, what?
Me. From Georgia.
This guy,
yeah.
Right there. This weekend event, we're also going to be doing a live show at the North Carolina Student Conclave. You're going to be talking about unique career paths in PT. Feel free, you can spoil it because this episode won't come out until after that.
Yeah, so. And I think you did a similar presentation.
National Student Conclave, yeah.
So I'm doing my presentation on unique career paths and kind of some advice that I got from some of the experts in each of those career paths on what you can be doing as a student now to kind of prepare yourself for those different careers, because we've all learned and we all know about what animal rehab is and what telehealth is and all of these different things. So, but we don't often hear from the experts in the field about what we need to be doing or what we can be doing to get there.
Sure.
So that's what I want to cover this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, my similar talk at National Student Conclave was, you all have experiences, and I'm talking to the audience in the room and I'm talking to the audience on the internet. You all have experiences. It feels like you're all just the same, but you're not. It feels like, you know, when we were introducing each other first day at PT school, when I was there, it was like biokinesiology. I worked at a radio station, but wait, what? And it was like, I didn't fit in. And I walked around kind of nervous that I wouldn't fit in or didn't know where, you know, I was going to put that random skill. Then next thing you'll find it. Like, it's scary now if you're that person, but you'll find it. You'll be able to put PT and something else together. I'm a radio DJ PT. This is not a thing, but it is a thing. So you'll be able to find it. So that's cool that you're exposing the students to that.
Yeah, so it should be good.
Yeah, looking forward to it. APTA ortho section involvement. I have a friend who, Megan Pohl. Do you know Megan Pohl?
Megan, she's in charge of we're going to have to edit that.
You can. It's okay.
Yeah.
Well, she's always, I was going to say, this
the
is my
mentorship program. Yeah, Megan's involved with the mentorship.
She's banging the drum trying to get, just describe your involvement. When you do that.
So my involvement started as a student. I was asked to be on the PR committee as a student kind of representative to the PR committee. I've stayed with the PR committee ever since. We handle all the social media for this section.
So you tweet.
Yeah, so I know what Twitter is. So we do all the social media. We do any outreach through the that public relations would normally handle with any other organization. And then I'm also the section historian, something that I've kind of graduated into through the PR committee. So I keep track of all the section's awards, all of the events, all the grant funding, the big research that the section funds. So that's my job.
That's cool. Yeah. All right, so you got 15, 20 seconds. Why should someone join the Ortho section? You get to do PR right here on the show.
Oh, I get
no charge.
So you should join the Ortho section because that's where you're going to get the mentorship. That's where you're going to get the experience. That's where you're going to get to make connections that you're not going to get to make on a day-to-day basis in your clinic.
Yeah. Okay. And you've also been involved with PT Think Tank, which is a project with a mutual friend, Eric Robertson.
Yeah, definitely.
Since 2009.
Yeah, Eric was my advisor when I was in physical therapy school.
Yeah, okay. So I didn't know that.
Eric and I go way back. He's a good friend, great mentor, and somebody that's kind of pushed me along through all these weird different endeavors that I've done throughout physical therapy.
Yeah. So. And he's been on the show.
Yeah, several times.
We had several drinks the first time. It literally was like kind of an accidental experience. We're at Graham Sessions, and I was probably one or two dozen drinks deep. And he said he seemed interesting, and I said I have a microphone. Let's see what we can get out.
He's a great interviewer. Right?
So what's just briefly describe PT Think Tank and what?
So PT Think Tank is kind of Eric's brainchild. It started as his personal blog. But it's kind of grown into something more than that. We're trying to develop it a little bit more, but it's kind of slowed down lately, but we're trying to build things back up. So if anybody's interested in starting to look at that and move forward with it, we'd definitely be interested in talking to
you. I'm ironically working on a project called PT Drink Tank,
which should
run parallel with that. I have no idea what I'm going to do with it, but we'll cross-promote. That'll be awesome. What about Wingate sets it apart since you've been to so many different educational experiences and you know, you've been here for a year. What makes it different than other places you've been?
I think something that sets Wingate apart, besides our student body being totally excellent, is that our faculty here, we're all dedicated to our students, and we're all dedicated to the community here and trying to make the best of things.
Yeah. Favorite moment. Sometimes I like to ask this one. Say it again. What? Yeah. Okay. So every once in a while, faculty members can throw you under the bus and say, because you didn't mention bees in your introduction, but apparently.
Yeah. So the first year students, the first year students know this about me. I don't think the third year students do.
Okay.
Tuesday night, Dr. Shupin and I took the North Carolina State Beekeepers exam to become certified beekeepers in the state of North Carolina.
Say that again. So first of all, there's a beekeeper examination.
Yeah. So I've been in bee school for the last 10 weeks.
Not business school.
Bee school. Yeah.
Give me something that one or two things I wouldn't know about bees. Honestly, you could say anything. I'm gonna agree with you. I have no idea.
There's so much. Bees are fascinating.
They make honey.
Yeah, there are undertaker bees. Did you know that?
Did not know that.
So there are bees that actually clean out the hive from the dead bees that die during the winter, and they take them out and push them out the front of the hive.
What's the smoky thing? What's that called?
It's called a smoker.
It's called a smoker, of course. It would have the obvious name. Thought it was going to have some super scientific Latin name, but it's just called a smoker. And the helmet.
That's a veil.
Veil. Yeah. Okay, yeah. You guys got to get some fancier equipment.
And a helmet.
You can talk. Yeah, you're...
You need to tell them what you're doing with the bio department.
What are you doing with the bio department?
So we don't have anything planned yet with the bio department, but we're going to have... So Dr. Shupin, our anatomist, and I both are going to have a beehive on campus. We've got a community garden on campus, and you probably don't know about this, but we have a community garden on campus that donates all the proceeds, all the produce, to a local food bank here in Monroe. Last year, they produced over 500 pounds of fresh produce
for
our community. So we're going to see if we put bees in the garden, if we can increase the pollination, increase the output of the garden. Now, that begs, since we have undergraduate here, we have a biology department. They might be interested in doing some research with our bees. So we're opening that door to see if we can get something there.
All of a sudden, an influx of EpiPens campus.
Exactly. So I'm not going to tell you where the community garden is.
He's not going to tell you where it is. Yeah. Students,
leave my bees alone.
Find it by accident. Just look for the smoker thing.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Are you ready for your parting shot?
Sure.
All right, here, let's do it.
This is The Parting Shot.
The Parting Shot is brought to you by Fox Rehabilitation. Their mission, to rehabilitate lives by believing in the strength of people. They believe in their clients and their ability to achieve what they once thought impossible. Optimal function to rehabilitate their lives. Find out more at foxrehab.org.
All right, Tyler, your parting shot. You are batting cleanup, so no pressure. It could be B or non-B related. Really, it's open. It's up for you.
So I think that we work in a profession where we like sometimes to get really focused on the letters after our name.
Ooh, yeah.
Right? So I would challenge all of us to make sure that our focus stays on our patient. Our patients don't care how many specialty certifications you have, what your degree is, as long as you can get them better. So just keep your focus on your patients.
It's here for Tyler on that. Yeah. All right, so last section of the show, we like to bring the students involved. And this is a section where you can ask your professors anything you want, and they have to answer. All right, so who's going to be the brave first soul who wants to ask any of their professors a question? Guy in the back, shout it out.
Yeah, you know, I would say that my bees are creating a lot of buzz around campus. I actually got an interview request yesterday about the bees, so they are creating some buzz about campus.
Like that. I was going to repeat the question, but you pretty much covered it right there. What do you guys want to know? And you can we can ask a general question. It doesn't have to be specific, and then we could have them answer one at a time. Anything you've wanted,
I'm
to repeat for the audience. If you could invent one tool for physical therapy, what would it be?
I've got the answer for that one. I would love a wearable sensor that an athlete can wear that actually looks at postural control during dynamic movement. So like an accelerometer for an athlete. Look at her. they can do it, but nobody's done it yet, right? So somebody needs to get on that. But I would love a tool that an athlete can wear that would actually measure during play their postural stability and motor control. Like, are they, you know, from a baseline to that, to make a return to play decision. I think that would be awesome.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
All right, Steve, Tyler, what are we inventing for physical therapy?
Nothing to do with bees.
You wouldn't dry needle bees? No?
No dry bees. I'm always curious about what my patients would do in the 23 hours between appointments, and I would like to develop something that would give us an idea about how active they were. More information than a Fitbit would provide, but some way to assess their exercise behaviors.
So maybe putting more of your patients on reality TV shows, and we could follow them with cameras for the 24
hours. Sure, absolutely, absolutely.
Or a drone that could follow them.
Well, but what are they going to do when they go into a tunnel or inside a building?
We'll work on it. I don't know. Let's hear it for the professors sharing some insight on stage. Let's hear it for you guys coming out on your own time. Wingate, you've been awesome. Thank you guys very, very much.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast, LLC.
It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jimmy McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University.
We talk PT, drink beer, and record it.
This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast.
The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.
Hey guys, the Movement Maestro here, letting you know that Rock Tape is so much more than just a tape company. We are a movement company. Move stronger, longer with the world's best kinesiology tape, topical pain relief, mobility equipment, and protective gear. But that's not all. Learn from the best with our industry-leading continuing education courses. Want 20% off your first product purchase? Head on over to shop.rocktape.com and use the code PTPINECAST. Again, for the folks in the back, that's shop.rocktape.com and enter the code PTPINECAST. Rock Tape, the world's best kinesiology tape, the movement industry's new standard for education.
Our home on the internet.
PTPintcast.com.
Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting
to providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.